Again, we welcome you to our Friends Day as we celebrate, and the message that the Lord laid upon my heart is actually found in Psalm 55. We're transitioning, as we've been talking about, discovering the riches of God. So we're transitioning. This is one of our transition sermons, if you would, as we begin a new series on relationships. We don't want you to miss that, because relationships are important to God. Without relationships, riches mean nothing. Without relationships, they mean nothing. So I want to invite you to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And we're going to be reading verses 4 through 7. Psalm 55, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say hold up. All right. Psalm 55, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. May God continue to bless the reading and receiving of his word. I'm going to talk about today, I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. You may be seated. I sent out the notice and I shared with you that I'd be sharing this message, and I ran into one of our youngest members, Avery, and she said, you're going to talk about I believe I can fly. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love and your grace. Give us wisdom. Lead us by the Holy Spirit that we might share the things that you would have us to say. Give us listening ears and a ready heart that we might receive it and not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of your mighty word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That song that R. Kelly wrote, I think back in the late 90s, early 2000, it said a lot about believing in yourself. But more importantly, it spoke to me about believing in God. His life also is an example of what happens when you stop believing, when you stop following through with the faith that God has given you, and that earnest desire to use your life for something that means something. Ladies and gentlemen, we can be defeated and we can give in to doubt at any time we choose. But it takes a true champion in heart to say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to make my way through these trials and this crisis that I'm facing. In that, you are saying, I believe I can fly. Now, we got two things that we need to consider as we think about this text. Number one, does God really want me to fly, or has he given me wings? The text bears the fact that the psalmist did not have wings, because he said, if I had wings, if I had wings. But then secondly, as we look at the critical issue of flying, you've got to have some destination. Got to have some place that you plan to fly to. You can't fly forever. You've got to have a destination in mind. So with that in mind, I want us to look at how we approach issues. how we approach circumstances, how we approach trials and troubles that would afflict us. How do we go through these things? The psalmist is leading you into a circumstance in his life. If you notice, this Psalm 55, it starts off by saying, I make my prayer to God. So it's really a prayer, but then David, as he went through this experience, he said, now, I know that other folk are going through it as well. So let me leave a few pointers. Let me leave a few things that I faced so that when they face it, they'll know you're not alone. Look at somebody, tell them you're not alone. They may not be able to hear you through the muffled mask, but they'll get the point. It's quite common for us as individuals to get into the panic mode. Something happens, we panic, we freeze. We don't know what to do. That frame of mind requires either that we resort to fright, to fight, or flight. Fright means I'm going to live with it, but I'm going to live in constant terror. I can't imagine the number of people waking up today to terror. I don't know what it's like to have bombs dropping over your head. Never experienced that except when I was in the military, and then it was very little. I don't know what it's like to wake up in a place where there are bullets flying. And believe it or not, bullets are not only flying in Ukraine, some of them are flying in our cities. People are waking up to violence, and not the military violence, but what people are doing to themselves. People are afraid. They don't know what's next. They're looking for answers. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for help. And so the psalmist is saying, when you get into that problem where you're faced with fright, fight, or flight, you need to direct your prayer unto the living God. Anybody in the building? You need to know that He hears you. You can pour out your heart to Him, even if sometimes what you're praying for doesn't make sense. God still wants to hear from you. David knew he didn't have wings. He could look at his arms and tell. You were not equipped like a bird. God doesn't expect you to act like a bird. So why would you want to fly away? I thought about something incredible today. This probably has very little to do with the message today, but hear me out. If you were going to the moon, you would need certain equipment. You would need what's known as a space suit. It would have to have the right amount of pressure. You would have to have a vessel, a rocket, then a capsule that would get you to the place where you're planning to go. If you plan on visiting the moon. I don't plan on going there anytime soon, so don't worry about that. But the point is, NASA and others who do this exploration and planning, they want to prepare you for that environment, okay? They want to get you set up so that when you get there, you have a breathing apparatus so you can breathe on the moon. You don't breathe the moon's air. They have something to hold you down because what I understand that the gravitational force on the moon is not as significant as the one that we have on the earth. Are y'all still in the building? I don't want to lose you with that, but what I'm saying is this. God didn't send you to the moon. He sent you to the earth. So He designed you with a special suit called a body that you are to live in while you're on the earth. If God wanted you to do other things, He would have equipped you with those tools. Are y'all following what I'm saying? In other words, He made the fish, gave them fins and gills so that they could breathe underwater and swim underwater They don't have arms like you. They don't have hands like you. They don't have feet and legs like you, but they've got the equipment of a fish. Don't lose me now. If you look at the birds of the air, they got feathers. And their wing design is so that when they fly, they know how to take off. They know how to keep going. And they know how to land. I don't want to lose you. I see some of y'all got a glaze going across your eyes. Look at somebody and say, I'm trying to learn how to fly. So God didn't give you those appendices, if you would call them that. Those He gave you arms, He gave you legs. Now you can stand out there, you can climb a ladder, and you can get to a hill and you can try to get something and then you can flap your wings and pretend they're wings, but I guarantee you, you ain't gonna fly. You were not designed for that. I know the problem comes. I know the issue hits you. Maybe you're in a doctor's office and he says to you the C word. You got cancer. Or maybe you are in the lawyer's office and he tells you to get you out of this problem is going to cost you this much. Or maybe the issue is you didn't ask for it, but you wake up and you get a bill in the mail, got your name on it, got your address, and you owe an amount that you know you can't pay. And so you say to yourself, if I just had wings, I would fly away and be at rest. Isn't that something? But then you say to yourself, I ain't got the wings, so I guess I got to deal with it. Let me help you out. You're not the only person that faced that. We're living in this 21st century, and we're acting as if all of this is happening and taking God by surprise. But may I say to you that you are on this planet, and because you are on this planet, we don't just breathe the air of this atmosphere, we breathe the air of the kingdom of God. Anytime we get out of breath, anytime life comes to us and it knocks the breath out of us, we go to His Word and God resuscitates us, brings us back to life in Him, and He tells us everything's gonna be all right. There's no escape on this planet from problems, but there is an escape in God. Abraham, when he was faced with life issues, you're not the only one that's been through this. Don't ever read your Bible and think that the folks in the Bible were exempt from my problems. Don't ever think that they never thought about taking flight. They took flight in different ways. Abraham, for instance, he was in a land, a promise where God told him, Abram, I'm going to give you this land. It's going to be yours and your descendants forever. But they ran into the problem of famine. Crops wouldn't grow. Water started drying out. Cattle looked like it wasn't going to survive. And Abraham said, you know what? I need to get out of here. I need to move down to Egypt where they got some water and where crops and everything will grow. So he took flight. A lot of people today are choosing the option of taking flight. Some are choosing the option of, well, I'm just going to fight. I'm going to get my way. I'm going to get it sooner or later. But I learned a hard lesson in life. One day you can run across somebody a little bit bigger and a little bit badder than you, and they're going to knock the soup out of you. So you can't always fight. You don't want to live in fright, and we can't fly. At least we shouldn't try to fly under our own power. Are y'all still in here? Stay with me now. I want to take you on a journey. I want to help you by the time you leave here today. You're going to be flying. You could be saying, man, I didn't know I could fly like this. Can't barely walk, but I can fly. Look at somebody. Tell them, I believe I can fly. So David cries out to God in this psalm, oh, that I had wings of a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. What was happening? In the time of the writing of this psalm, David is going through an excruciating experience where King Saul, for no good reason, is chasing him and wants to take his life from him. David has to flee here. He has to run there. And as soon as he gets to a place where he feels like he's safe, they get discovered. Next thing you know, folks telling on him. You've had anybody betray you? Tell on you? You confide in them, they tell everybody. Anybody? Well, don't raise your hand. Anybody? Taking flight becomes the option of choice because we feel like we have no other choice. But David is doing the right thing in this verse. He's turning to God. He's saying, God, before I do what I say I'm going to do, I want to confer with you. I want to get on my knees and ask you, is flying away really my answer? He goes on in those verses, and later on he says, my salvation is in the Lord. He's assured that no matter what he faces in life, the Lord will guide him through. Let me speak a word into your heart today. No matter what you are going through, God is going to guide you, but also God is going to be with you. Please understand that. Understand that today. I believe I can fly, but I need some flying lessons. I need to learn what the Lord has planned for me. David describes his situation as, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. How many of you have ever wakened at about 2 o'clock in the morning and you're panicked? Either it's the next day or either something has hit you during the night you didn't expect, and all of a sudden you're just trembling. What do you do? Are you sure you can fly far enough to get away from that? Or do you seek a refuge? The psalmist would write a little bit later, I found in God a hiding place. How many of y'all know about that? Yeah, you get on your knees, you call on the Lord, and next thing you know, he hides you from the storm and from the tempest. God Almighty is with you. As he prays, as he pours out his heart to God, it is not only an encouragement to us, but it's almost a command to us. You better pray. You'd better call on him. There's no one else that knows your situation but God. And some of y'all might not know it yet, but can't nobody do you like Jesus anyhow. How do we fly away? How do we be at rest? This probably also is a reference to the Old Testament sacrifice. Many times these doves were used in animal sacrifice, especially during the cleansing of a leper. Leviticus 14 tells us that two birds are taken. One is slain, and the blood of that first bird is poured on the second bird, and then they release it. They let it go into the wilderness. Perhaps David felt like that. I'm a scapegoat. I'm a scapebird. Everything is dumped on me, and I just need to fly away and just get it done. Just be done with it. But before you just fly in panic, hold on a minute. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on a minute. Did you not know that God is a way maker? And there are a couple of things you got to do before you start flying. Number one, if you're going to fly, you got to know how to take off. Engineers, even though they saw birds do that, it was one of the most difficult things. The Wright brothers, before they could really say we've developed a flight plan, they had to learn how to take off. What you got to learn how to do is when you're in trouble and when the devil is trying to hold your feet, you got to know how to take off. Look at somebody and say, you got to know how to take off. But the question comes, do you have the energy to stay in flight? Can you stay up there? Once you start flying, are you sure your arms are going to hold you up? Are you sure you have it in you? David specifically asked for the wings of a dove. But did you not know that the dove has got some enemies? One is a storm. So before you take off, make sure you're not headed to another storm. The problems in the air are just as bad as the problems on the earth. So you may as well have kept yourself in place. Are y'all in the building? Oh, if I could just get out of this marriage, if I could just get out of this situation, if I could just get out of this relationship, if I could just get out of this job, if I could just fly. Like my grandma used to say, set your far self down. Might learn something. If I could just quit hanging out with this gang, if I could just stop going over here, stop going over there, if I had wings, I'd fly away. This really speaks to where we are. Confused, afraid, not knowing the next step, but take the advice of David, bring it to God. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. The engineers that were designing aircrafts, they knew that they could put fuel in a plane and keep it flying, but they didn't know how much fuel. Are y'all there? The more fuel you got, the harder it is to take off and harder it is to sustain flight. So they had to have these powerful engines added to it. And then, as life would have it, what goes up got to come down. They also discovered that along with your ability to fly, you need a flight plan. What I want to give you is spend 5 minutes or so with you giving you God's flight plan. Before you fly, make sure you know how to do what? Take off. Make sure you know how to stay up there, and then make sure you know how to land. So I come to the conclusion that David's request to fly wasn't a ridiculous one. As a matter of fact, it was one that God had in mind for his people. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? I'm absolutely sure. Here's the issue. If the dove gets in the air, he not only has to worry about storms that he might encounter, and he can very easily fly around them, but he also has to be aware of hawks, sky predators. A hawk, eagle, can fly faster than a dove. What I also learned is that an eagle has the ability to fly upside down. They can strike at over 100 miles per hour. They can look at a target and they soar down, swoop up under it and grab it. That's what they do with doves. So are you sure you want to be a dove? Show of hands, anybody want to be a dove? You online, y'all want to be a dove? I don't want to be a dove. I would much rather, if I'm going to fly, let me fly like an eagle. Let me soar like a bird in the sky. Yeah, I believe I can fly. Matter of fact, I was going through Brook Neal, traveling over the bridge of the Starting River, and I saw a bald eagle. Its wingspan, way on more than me, about 20 feet, it spread its wing and then it just glided through the air. I said, man, that's what I want. I was having a problem in France. I wanted to get out of there. I said, that's what I need. Give me some wings. Well, Isaiah 40, verse 31 and 32, write it down because you're going to need it. It says this, even the youth shall faint and the weary and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Try not to get happy when we read this next part. And they shall mount up with wings as... Come on, say it with me, as eagles, not doves. God knew that sometime you needed to fly, but don't be a dove because you might get caught. But if you're an eagle, come on somebody, you can fly away and be at rest. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not fail. So God wants you to fly, but now here's the other thing. In his flight plan, he wants to give you the right wingspan, the right wing ability, but he also wants you to give it the right direction to fly. He doesn't want you flying away from your problem. Oh, I messed up somebody. They said, oh, God, you mean I got to live with this for another year? Hold on. Read another verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Some of y'all already should know it. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, with the temptation, will make a way of escape. There's your flight plan, that you may be able to bear it. Hold on, wait a minute. What did that last part say? I thought I was getting out of it, and it looks like God's going to get me through it. Look at somebody. It looks like God is going to get me through it. Tell somebody else, it looks like God is going to get me through it. So rather than you flying off away from it, God said, fly to it. You an eagle? Eagles don't get attacked. They attack. If the devil is attacking you, attack him. Dive in on him. You got wings now. You know how to fly. And you got God's flight plan. Here's the amazing thing about it. You are not fueled by the energy of this world. You are fueled by the Holy Spirit. I was in the Air Force. And Bernard Wright, he was in the Air Force also. You could not put kerosene in a jet plane and expected to fly. You couldn't even put regular gasoline in a jet plane. We had to put a formula in there called JP4. And those crews would come in before we would take off. They'd put some JP4 in the tank. And then you see that plane taxiing on to the runway, getting ready to take off. Before you leave church, I want to give you some Holy Ghost JP4. Fill your tanks up with it, because you're not expected to go out of here just cruising. You're going to fly today. You're going to fly up out of here today. Now get you some coffee before you leave. Get your meal before, but fly up out of here. Look at somebody and say, I wish I could get out of here and fly. Here's the thing. God doesn't want you flying away from your problem if he has equipped you to fly into the problem. Oh, Jesus, help us today. In other words, what we would also do with those planes that had to fly, we would equip them with armament so that rather than the world dropping bombs on you, you can drop bombs on them. Drop a word on the devil. Drop a word on your problem. Drop a word on the situation. Tell the devil, take that. Take a little bit more of this. If you need more, I can go back and get refuel. Oh, I'm telling you, God wants us to fly, but he wants to make sure that we're flying through the situation. You know what I was told by my doctor one time? I went over there, and I'd been working out. I've been trying to do the things I was supposed to do. And the doctor used this word. You came through every test with flying colors. I said, that sounds good. Tell me one more time. You passed it with flying colors. God's not looking for dropout saints. He's looking for flying saints. You earn your wings through obedience, through saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I know I'm facing something that looks impossible, but as soon as I get loaded up, I'm going to drop some bombs on the devil today. Oh, I'm here to tell you that depression that I'm facing, I'm going to drop a bomb on that depression and let him know that I'm not giving in to the situation. I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Are y'all still here today? I close with a couple of points that you need to know as we close this message. With God's flight plan, there's no crisis too big that you can't face it. Says so. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above that which you're able. Look at that. He's not going to put you in a situation that he hadn't equipped you for. Now, you might need to fly. But like I say, with the flight plan, you just kind of zero in and you unload that cargo and you start saying, Lord, I thank you for giving me that ability. How many of you can just say that right there? Lord, thank you for lifting that burden. Thank you for easing that pain that's in my heart. Second thing we learned today is that every struggle comes with instructions. Every struggle. God puts the struggle on you. Mount up with wings. How many of y'all have ever gotten to the point where you've said, I got to get above this problem so I can figure out what's going on? How many of y'all? That's when you're flying. You're getting your mind above the problem. If your mind is just on the situation or on that level, you ain't ever going to figure it out. But if you can get up a little bit higher, if you can soar around it and kind of circle, oh, yeah, I see now. Things look a lot different from 30,000 feet in the atmosphere than they do when you're right there at it. And through the Holy Spirit of God, you're able to get up into the atmosphere. So is that what I was crying about? Is that what I was frustrated about? And then you can look at it and say, God, thank you for showing me that this thing is not too big for you. Third thing we learned, I got to hurry on because I got to get you out of here flying. All right? Look at somebody and say, I'm ready to fly. All saints share the same problem. Mine might not be the same as yours, but you better believe I got enough of them. How many of y'all don't have enough problems? I didn't see no hands. Okay. Even young folks sitting there going, I ain't saying nothing. We share this in common. But the thing is, when we fly in formation, when we get together, and we fly together, ain't nothing going to attack us. That's the mighty church of the living God. Are y'all still here? Because we are trusting in him. Then lastly, your destination is not destruction, but victory. Your destination is not destruction, but victory. Everything that you are going through right now, God has counted it as part of your victory. But if you've never been through a battle, if you never had to face a situation, what you flying for? But when you are saying to yourself, Lord, I can face the battle, let me fly out at it. Let me just take it on because I know that you didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I know that you're with me. No problem too big for your God. Keep flying, child of God. Keep flying. When you get up there, don't look down and say, I'm scared. No. What's on the ground can't match what you got in you. Keep flying, child of God. Look at somebody and tell them, keep flying. 1975, I was over in Osan Air Base in South Korea. I never did like flying, still don't like it. But the only way for me to get back stateside would get on one of these stretch eights. Had about almost 300 soldiers go on board in that thing. It didn't look good. Terrible looking plane. I looked at the thing, man, I don't want to get on that. Then the thought occurred to me, if you're going to get out of here, you got to get on that. Here we go with our duffel bags. All everything that we had loaded up on the plane. But then I noticed something. That stretch eight had a pilot. It had a co-pilot. And all we had to do was buckle in and hold on. Now, it wasn't a good ride. It got bumpy at times. He would come on the intercom and he would say, "We're facing some turbulence, but two things that I remember, one was the takeoff." Those engines fired up and that thing just lit up. Went to the end of that runway and just took to the sky. Lights blinking over the wings, it was flying. And I said to myself, "I'm going home now." Yeah, I liked Korea, it was all right, but I'm going home now. And when that thing touched down in San Diego, I never will forget, wasn't the easiest of landing. That thing got bumped. Whoa. But it landed. And as I got off the plane, I kissed the ground. "Lord, thank you for being with me on this flight." Child of God, as you take flight in Jesus, your way is going to get bumpy. But keep flying. You're going to run into some storms. But keep flying. The devil is going to try to attack you, but keep flying. Keep your wings going, because you got a pilot and his name is Jesus. Keep flying. Keep flying. Oh, some glad morning, when this life is over, I will fly away. God's going to give me wings. God's going to put me on the runway and say, "Come on home, child of God. You fought a good fight. Keep flying." And one of these old days, you're going to touch down in glory. Jesus is going to meet you and say, "You've been flying a long time. You've been fighting a long time. Come on in and enjoy the goodness of God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to fly with Jesus." You have a choice today. You can just walk out of here, or you can fly out of here. You got your JP4? Then you can fly. You got your wings? Then you can fly. Take your armament and go on and fly with the Lord. He's a good God. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for blessing us today. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. And Lord, I pray for that one that is without Christ in this world. Help them to learn how to fly. Help them to know, Lord, that their anchor's in you, that their refuge is in you. Everything that they need is in you. Bless them, that they might in turn be a blessing to someone else. We thank you and we praise you. We magnify your holy name. And Lord, I pray that if someone is there needing Christ, help them to open their heart and to receive him. They'll meet the greatest friend that they've ever met. It's in the Lord Jesus. In his mighty name we pray. Amen. For those of you that are online or those in here, surrendering to Christ is not just something we do when we're needing salvation, but any time in our life. We surrender to him, surrender to his grace, and say, "Lord, you take over." And God is the one that will direct us. He's the one that will keep us. Turn your problem over to the Lord and let him bless you. Amen. If you have wings, which you got them today, you can fly and be at rest. Amen. Why should I feel discouraged, Lord, and why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? For when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he wants as me. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Listen to this. Whenever I am tempted, Lord, you know, and whenever dark clouds arise, when my song just gives way to sighing, and hope within me dies. But here's what I do. I draw ever closer to him. And from cares, he sets me free. How many of y'all know that? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Come on, put your hands together. Oh, you know that I sing.
Because
I am happy.
Because I'm happy.
Lord, and I sing.
I sing.
Because
I am free.
Oh, yes,
I'm
I am.
Free.
I know that his eye
is on
the sparrow. Lord, and
I know
he watches
over me.
Our Father and our God, we thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, Father, we can do nothing. We thank you, Father, for this message, our time spent here today, Father, and we pray, Lord, that we take this message to heart. Fly above the problem. We can fly above the problem because you have given us the grace and the ability to do so. You tell us, Father, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We'll be able to look at situations different, Father, because we don't weep as those who have no hope. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, to bless us with traveling mercy. As we get ready to go out on the parking lot and celebrate this Friends Day, Father, let us mingle among each other, Father, and let us remember that we're doing this out of love. Father, we pray, O Lord, that you bless every household. Continue to bless the pastor, Father, and continue to bless us, Lord, as we come and take in your word. Father, we pray that we can't get learned too much, because there is always a lesson to learn on this earth. Father, we pray, Lord, you dismiss us from this place, but not from that holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.